This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
New from Radiotopia presents Red for Revolution, an audio drama about Black love, queer romance, and liberation. Join Jasmine, an 18-year-old navigating her queer identity while learning about her grandmother's secret love affair. Through her discoveries, we're transported back to 1971 to witness two remarkable women embark on a romance that defies all conventions. Subscribe to Radiotopia Presents and listen to Red for Revolution wherever you get your podcasts.
Life has been lifing, so we've been pretty busy. My comrade and I, Marcos, founder of the largest online progressive community, Daily Coast. Our regular segment, Thursday Coast, is back, and we are live as well. Marcos, how are you, buddy? Welcome back. How's your summer off to a good start?
It's on Friday, so that's tomorrow. I am officially going to be an empty nester. I'm going to join you in the empty nesting lifestyle. So I am very, very excited. I've been a full-time single dad for the last 8 years.
Yeah.
And so I'm ready. I'm ready for this new phase.
Well, first of all, congratulations on raising two wonderful kids. Empty nesting is cool. Mine is over though. My son's back home. So, it still feels like empty nesters because we're two ships.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about him, right? Yeah, like he just does his own thing.
Yeah. No, it, actually, the roles have shifted. He's now my dad. So that's what I'm dealing with. But but that's great, man. Congratulations. That is wonderful. You will enjoy it. So we want to talk about a few things, folks. But first of all, we have this conflict that is now come forward between Trump and Elon. What is happening here? What happened?
Well, when you take the two worst people in the world, can you imagine having the money that, I mean, we know Trump is the worst, Elon's the worst, but just to me, I look at the fact that Elon Musk is worth $250 billion right now, depends on Tesla's stock price, but around there. $250 billion, does not have a charitable foundation. How do you have that money and not think there's some things that I really care about that I'd like to donate my money to support? I mean, how soulless and just like what kind of corruption, internal corruption leads you to not care about anything or anyone that's not yourself.
Right.
So you take the two worst people in the world, Donald Trump and Elon Musk, and you put them in the same room, it was never going to last. I mean, we all knew, nobody was under any illusion that was a lasting partnership or friendship.
Right.
That bromance had an end date, and now we see it.
Without me, Trump would have lost the election, Dems would control the House, and the Republicans would be 51-49 in the Senate.
Then he followed that up saying, such ingratitude.
I wonder what happened. But, you know, the old saying, there's no honor among thieves.
Horrible people.
two horrible people fighting with each other. And then apparently it appears we have, I want to see if we can get Trump's comments on here, because he's, as you stated before we went on, his comments are kind of mild. His reaction, I should say, is kind of mild, in response to what Elon has shared. So let's see if we can take a look at what Trump is saying here.
Elon's upset because we took the EV mandate, and you know, which was a lot of money for electric vehicles, and you know, they're having a hard time, the electric vehicles, and they want us to pay billions of dollars in subsidy. And you know, Elon knew this from the beginning. He knew it for a long time ago. JD, that hasn't changed. That's been right from the beginning, Mr. Secretary. That hasn't changed at all, right from the beginning. But I know that it disturbed him. He wanted, and rightfully, you know, he recommended somebody from that he, I guess, knew very well. I'm sure he respected him, but to run NASA, and I didn't think it was appropriate. And he happened to be a Democrat, like totally Democrat. And I say, you know, look, we won. We get certain privileges, and one of the privileges, we don't have to appoint a Democrat. NASA is very important. We have great people. General Kane is going to be picking somebody with our, we'll be checking him out, seeing, but he wanted that person, a certain person, and we said no. And, you know, I can understand why he's upset. Remember, he was here for a long time. You saw a man who was very happy when he stood behind the Oval Desk. And even with a black eye, I said, do you want a little makeup? We'll get you a little makeup. But he said, no, I don't think so, which is interesting and very nice. He wants to be who he is, so you could make that statement too, I guess. Look, Elon and I had a great relationship. I don't know if well anymore. I was surprised because you were here. Everybody in this room practically was here as we had a wonderful send-off. He said wonderful things about me. You couldn't have nicer, said the best thing. He's worn the hat. Trump was right about everything. And I am right about the great, big, beautiful bill.
So there you have Trump's Trump's reaction. Which, as you alluded to, was kind of mild in response to what Elon was saying. So he mentions the EV thing, and that is his bread and butter. But this goes to show you, there's no perfect crime. You know, you're dealing with Trump. What would you expect Trump to do?
I mean, it's always been part of Trump's platform. So it was always curious that Elon went all in behind Trump when the Democrats are the ones supporting electric vehicle and clean energy subsidies and investment. And Trump is all big oil, big oil, big oil, like the rest of his Republican Party. So it never made sense from a business standpoint. So it's actually surprising that I just assumed that Elon decided he didn't give a shit about that and that he was going to focus on his tax cuts or whatever. So it makes very, very little sense. I mean, Elon actually tweeted in response to that. He said, whatever, keep the EV solar incentive cuts in the bill, even though oil and gas subsidies aren't touched. Very unfair, exclamation, exclamation, exclamation. I swear they're the same person, aren't they? But ditch the all caps mountain of disgusting pork in the bill. In the entire history of civilization, must tweet. There has never been legislation that both big and beautiful. They're like the same person, aren't they? Everything's the most biggest and the most in history, and there's never been anything like it, and it's so unfair. And but it's curious because all these Republicans like Johnson, Wisconsin senator, he's also against it because there's too much the deficit. None of them are saying let's get rid of the tax cuts, the tax cuts that benefit millionaires and billionaires. Nobody's saying that. They're talking about mountain of disgusting pork. Mark, Elon spent 3 months digging through the entire federal bureaucracy, and he was able to find $10 billion of wasteful spending. Most of it was not. But out of the entire budget, he was able to find $10 billion. And there's a separate rescission bill about those $10 billion. But this is in the $6 trillion budget, there just isn't that much fat in our budget. Most of the spending, unless you want to take on the Pentagon, or unless you want to get rid of Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, they're already taking a hatchet to Medicaid.
Right.
That's what the budget is. It's spending and healthcare and Social Security. That's what the bill is. They were able to find $10 billion. So I'm not sure what disgusting pork Elon Musk or the rest of the Republican budget hawks are talking about, because if they really were serious about the deficit, right now, this budget raises the deficit by what, $3, $4 trillion over the next 10 years? If they were serious about that, they would get rid of the tax cuts. That's how you get rid. That's how you align the spending with the budget, right? Is you raise more money, particularly money from people who don't need tax cuts.
Right, right, right.
I mean, if you're worth $1 billion, why do you, if you're a billionaire, you get an extra $1 million in tax cuts. Why is that a thing? Why that incessant greed, that ravenous desire for more accumulation and for more wealth? I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't understand how somebody like Elon Musk doesn't have a charitable foundation. I don't understand how Trump never really did. He had one, but it was fake.
Yeah, this is very interesting. Elon, if you go to his X, and many of us have left X, but he's talking about the national debt is going to go up to $36.9 trillion. He's actually retweeting Doge designer, whoever runs that. But we know what Doge is, and he hasn't stopped raising the issue as to what the problems are in this whole conversation.
I mean, so, in the first Trump presidency, the debt went up $7 trillion. It went up more in 4 years of Trump than it did in 4 years of Biden, even though Biden was getting us out of the COVID mess. Why would anybody think that Trump cared about the debt? He never has. He never has before. He blew up the debt before.
Yeah.
And ultimately, again, unless you're going to take on the Pentagon, and unless you're going to cut Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid, which are politically disastrous. I mean, we're gonna win next year's election on Medicaid cuts. Mm-hmm. Unless you do that, you can't. There's nothing there. Doge found $10 billion, or 12. Remember, Elon Musk came into Doge at the beginning in January saying he was going to cut $2 trillion in the budget. And then he's like, okay, no, $1 trillion. And then it was $150 billion. And he could only find 10. Mm. It might be 12, but the rescission is 10. So between 10 and 12. I mean, at this point.
And that's by their accounting. We don't even know how much of that is really overspending or waste. I mean, but the fact that they could still only find that small amount in whatever, because they could have made up anything. And
yeah.
from whatever they could have made up, that's what they did. So this is all very interesting. We're gonna have to.
But
let's see where it goes.
It's actually fascinating now, because remember the Republicans barely passed this budget in the House, right? It passed by 2 votes. Only reason it passed is because 3 of our Congress members died in this year, because Democrats don't know when to retire. They can't pass the baton to a younger generation for whatever selfish, narcissistic reasons. That's why it passed. Otherwise, we could have blocked it. But it passes. In the Senate, they only have a 3-vote cushion. They can only afford to lose 3 votes. And you have, on both sides, you have the budget hawks in the Senate saying there's not enough cuts. And then you have the more, quote, moderate, like Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, who are saying there's too much. And then you even have, Senator Hawley of Missouri, the insurrectionist, he's saying he's not going to agree to any cuts to Medicaid. And there's $800 billion in cuts in Medicaid over the next 10 years in that budget. So how are you going to get that through? It's already difficult as is. And then the Senate's going to pass their version, and it's going to go back to the House, and you got to reconcile the two versions. So that's still an ongoing fight. Now you have Elon Musk saying that anybody that votes for this, he's going to primary next year.
So this is about to be a mess.
Then you have people like Marjorie Taylor Greene saying, had I known what was in the bill, I would not have voted for it. Literally a thing she said. Everybody kind of pointing out, well, you didn't read the bill you voted for. So this is all, I mean, the good news about this is it dramatically increases the chances that nothing happens. And if nothing happens, the Trump tax cuts from 2017 or his first term, they expire. So he may actually, by losing, he may inadvertently help close, national, at least the budget deficit, if not the debt. So we'll see where that is going. But they are not in a good place. And again, it's two horrible people. Mark, Trump is right. In that clip that you played, the send-off seemed to be really pleasant. Mm-hmm. The problem was right after he got sent off, they took the NASA nominee, which was Elon's guy, and they booted him. And it seemed like a typical petty Trump move, right? Like, F you. And then, Musk lost his shit after that. All he had to do is keep this NASA commissioner. He's a Democrat. He's donated to everybody. He's one of those guys that donates all across the board, right? Trump donated to Democrats back in the day. In fact, I believe he donated to Hillary Clinton. So it was a petty move by Trump, and now you got two petty people going at each other, and it's just going to escalate, and it may take down this big, beautiful bill of Trump's, which would be the best thing to come out of this.
Yeah. Good. Take it down.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
But, it just shows how these relationships that people have, and I'm sure there were people in Trump's circle that were jealous of Elon, because Elon had a lot of juice in this administration. And I'm sure he didn't make many friends in Trump's circle either. I'm sure there was envy and jealousy all going on.
No, you're right. And Mark, there's actually, Trump was, Musk was going into these cabinet agencies and making demands. And finally, the cabinet secretaries kind of had a meeting with Trump. This was public. This is not me guessing. Where they basically had Trump say, yeah, you're the guy who's in charge, which was a message to Elon that, like, no, you can't make decisions. And so Trump thought he was like a little mini dictator. He was going to go in and he was going to rewrite all the laws and he was going to shut down all the agencies and he was going to fire everybody. And that's not how the federal government works. So he was already, I think, chafing about that, right? Like that he didn't have unfettered access to do whatever the heck he wanted. And it was kind of, ironically, it was Kash Patel who really finally like stumped him of all people. It was Kash Patel because Elon sent his email, saying, you can either quit now or you'll get fired, right? Remember that emails he was sending early on?
Yeah.
And Kash Patel immediately sent out a follow-up email saying, disregard that. And he's the one seemingly that once he's like stiffened up, other cabinet secretaries began stiffening up. Not all of them, like Linda McMahon rolled over, but over at the Education Department, but a lot of them started standing up. And then this is where Trump basically had to like choose. Is he with Elon or is he with the cabinet secretaries? And he publicly did a cabinet meeting where he backed up the cabinet secretaries.
Wow. Yeah.
And that was like the beginning of the end at that point.
Well, good.
Yeah. It's always when you have bad people going at each other, you know, it's like, okay, like the world sucks right now. The situation sucks, but at least we get to enjoy the fact that the world's worst people hate each other as well.
Let them all take each other out. That's what we want. That's what
we want.
But now you have some advice for our side. And that is, that has to do with how we present ourselves, the language that we use. I want to remind everyone, you know, you said this in the past, how for the first time Democrats lost poor people. Mm-hmm. Our perception has become the party of the educated elite, which also isn't good. So you have some advice for us, for Democrats, I guess, and progressives, as to how we should comport ourselves, how we should present ourselves in terms of language and what we're saying. And folks, you know, let's also think about this. We're in this moment of social media. We're not saying this makes any of this right. I mean, there's nothing wrong about expanding one's vocabulary, but we've got a dum-dum in the White House and a social media narrative that is dumbing everyone down. You know, this is new meme going on right now, Marcos, believe it or not. And these are so-called black influencers who are arguing that Harriet Tubman was not a real person. That's become a thing. The only good thing about it, people I know who were on the fence about the pitfalls of social media now are with me. Like, you all see now how many things are marketed and targeted toward us to get us. Is Harriet Tubman? One woman says neither Harriet Tubman nor Sojourner Truth were real.
Oh,
because Harriet Tubman's real name, it was Araminta Ross, I think it was, which everybody knows. But people changed their names when they were coming out of enslavement. They didn't keep everybody didn't keep the slave master's name, but because there was an Araminta person, Araminta Ross.
Ooh.
Harriet Tubman is not a real person.
This can come across as, I don't know. I mean, it's controversial for sure. Democrats have lost the ability to talk to people. And we as progressive activists advocate for our causes in such a way that alienates the greater American majority. I mean, I'll do an example from my community, the Latino community. I'm Latino, most of you might know. This effort to use Latinx to degenderify the term Latino was absolutely hated by the Latino community. I mean, Pew did a poll, 4% approved of it. 60, 70% literally said it offended them.
Mm.
But it came out of academia and this notion that we have to degenderify everything because, you know, there is this sort of war against gender. And yes, gender is a construct. We can talk about all those academic notions, right, about what gender actually means and how it's a social construct and how some people don't fit into that binary structure. But when you push this on a people, on a broader population that's not ready for it, it alienates. It shuts down conversation. And this, we see this in talk about CRT. We see this in the debate about trans athletes. It's not that those are wrong as things to fight for, but when you do so in a way that alienates the broader electorate, you actually take steps back. You're not advancing the cause anymore. You're electing Donald Trump. which is the worst thing to happen to those things. And what's worse is that our base voted for that. Our natural base, which is poorer Americans, right? Now, we go around, we're talking about economically disadvantaged Americans, right? People know poor. They don't know economically disadvantaged. You and me know, people listening to this, we all know what economically disadvantaged means. Donald Trump speaks at a fourth grade level. We laugh at Donald Trump for his vocabulary and him saying this is bad, unfair, with all caps and exclamation points. The vast majority of people, that's what they understand. This is like the harsh, harsh reality. And you see this in the polling. You see how the more educated somebody is, the more Democratic they become. Now you see that in the socioeconomic, in the income numbers. The more somebody makes, the more likely they are to be Democratic. Total inversion of historical norms. Mm-hmm. So the so to me, like the big example was Donald Trump's ad, very effective ad, showing Kamala Harris answering a question about gender-affirming care for prison inmates. First of all, I don't know why it was an ACLU form. I don't even know why they asked her that question. Why is that the important thing? Why is the thing that affects about 10 people in the entire country the thing you're going to ask at the time a senator? I think he was running for president. Why was that the question and not what you're going to do to make people's lives better in all of America, right? So there's a notion from our issue advocacy groups and our allies to really fixate on real niche issues, right, that don't really affect people. And this is what's so frustrating. There's a small number of people, and that's required by federal law, right? It wasn't even like her policy. But what that ad did, and here's the thing, if you ask Americans, should we discriminate against trans people? Most people will say no.
Right, right.
Like Pew, I looked it up. I wrote about it. It's like 70% of Americans think we should not discriminate against trans people. Like 10% think they should. Just 10% of people think. Now, of course, people may say different, right? But generally speaking, Americans want fairness. But what that ad did, it wasn't, we hate trans people, therefore we're going to vote for Trump. The message was, she cares more about sex change operations for criminals than she cares about my ability to pay for groceries. Yeah. That's the message. It's not, we hate trans people. It's, why are they worried about criminals and sex change operations when I can't even afford food?
Yeah.
So
that ad took her out.
It really reinforced the notion that she was not in touch. So Democrats really need to get back to, one, the economy, right? That's the thing everybody is always concerned about. That's the thing that's most important. It's always going to be the number one concern. And yeah, we're gonna win next year because Trump is, you know, he's crapping all over the economy and the tariffs are a disaster. We already saw the job numbers start to fall. In Wednesday's ADP job report, you know, I think only 30,000 jobs were created for the month. They expected over 100,000. So things are starting to slow down. That'll happen. But if Democrats can't present themselves as a party that is singularly focused on improving people's lives. And Mark, young people can't afford to buy a house. And there's no world. I mean, you need right now to buy the median house in the United States, you need to make $130,000 a year, right? Not a lot of people are making that much to begin with, much less younger Americans. So younger Americans are graduating. AI is getting rid of jobs. They definitely cannot afford to buy a home. Opportunities are less. Health insurance is prohibitively expensive.
On that point, you shared something the other day on your Instagram. The age.
Yeah.
Can you repeat that? Who the age people were when they were buying houses?
What, I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it used to be like 30 years old, you know, back in the 90s, the average age of a first-time home buyer was in the low 30s. Today, it's in the 60s. Hmm. I mean, people cannot have... So Democrats were kind of stuck in this plate. When Trump came in, he came in about, you know, basically attacking all institutions, right? America's broken. We need to burn it all down to the ground. And we got stuck in opposition defending those institutions. But it is hard to defend those institutions when they're not really serving anybody outside of that cultural elite. And we, as a cultural elite, don't have the numbers to win the presidency. And it's going to get worse in 2030, because after reapportionment, Texas and Florida are scheduled to get 7 new electoral votes, while California loses 4, New York loses 1-2, Illinois loses 1. We are in a place now that it's going to get a lot harder to win the Electoral College unless we can actually be competitive in places like Texas and some of the current red to purple states. We're in trouble if we don't learn how to talk to people and focus on the issues that they care about. And that doesn't mean that if you are, you know, a Latino advocacy group, you're not fighting for the issues you're fighting for. But you got to give space to our politicians to focus on the one thing they need to focus on, which is how are they going to make everybody's lives better? Once they're in power, great, lobby them. Let's get some good shit done. Once they're in power, let's get DC statehood. Let's get this. Let's get that. But, you know, so today I'm looking at Chuck Schumer's Twitter, and he's going on and on about the Iran nuclear arm deal that Trump administration is trying to negotiate with Iran. I mean, great. Nobody cares. Can we have a party that is 100% focused on the economy and jobs? And how are we going to redistribute that wealth? There is a real opening. Mark, I spent a lot of time on right-wing forums. Like, I really like to get a sense of what they're focused on. They don't like billionaires. Like, they have the same populist tendencies. Obviously, there's contradictions, right? They support Donald Trump. They're big fans of Elon Musk. But there's also a sense, they're screwing us again. Like, there's always this notion, we're getting screwed. They are. We all are. We can use that. We can weaponize that. Get rid of billionaires. There's no reason somebody should be a billionaire.
Yeah.
Wealth packs that. There's literally no reason that billionaires should exist. Once you have $100 million, what more can you use with that money that is of any purpose beyond ego?
And we must. Now, let me just add a couple of things here. Maybe you to help people relate even more to what Marcos is saying about our over academic approach to language. I know another term that many groups across the board are offended by. And you know what, Mark? I don't know that this is so much as academic. It's like some people have a need to economize and come up with a catch-all because they're too lazy to spell out Latinos and Latinas. So I'll give you another big example. And this has been a problem for years. It's kind of subsided because folks just don't want to do it. It just never really took. And that's BIPOC.
Yeah.
Black, Indigenous. Like, we got to find a word. Like somebody said, you know what? We need a word to just wrap, loop everybody up together.
Yeah.
And which really is everybody. When you say BIPOC, you're really saying people. Anybody who's not, I mean, you could really say non-white. Mm-hmm. But folks, you know, I've been in spaces, I never really got caught up in that. But I've been in space where people were literally offended by everybody being grouped together under one term, one acronym.
Yeah, people of color, right?
Yeah, you know, but BIPOC specifically.
Okay.
Like indigenous and people of color. Mm-hmm. People got away with people of color, but then when they did black, indigenous, and people of color, mm-hmm. Okay, y'all trying too hard, just try to make it easy because y'all don't really feel like writing all the words out.
Right.
You know, we need to come up with something. And I think journalism probably helps it because journalism is an economy of words. So that's part of the problem, too. We have to be willing, folks, to spell out the uniqueness of each community, but at the same time, not become so super niche that somebody can take a commercial. So you got to learn from that now. When Marcos and I, when he runs president, I run for vice president, we can't do interviews where it's just, well, we're just going to answer in this questions because they can use that now.
Well, I mean, they could ask the question, but the answer is going to be, You can worry about that. I'm worried about making sure everybody has a job.
Right. And see,
don't give them that soundbite.
And we were helpless because she couldn't hold a press conference and say, I didn't really mean that. I don't want that. Yeah. You know, it was a lose-lose situation. She couldn't denounce what she said earlier or try to clarify or parse it without offending the LGBTQIA community.
Yeah.
And I mean, there were even those in the community who were like, damn, they're using us to take her out. You know, and even they would not have... Because it wasn't organic. It wasn't like the LGBTQIA community said, hey, let's push our endorsement of her with this commercial, right? They were like, you know, let's be cool. Let's get in. We know where she stands. So, I agree with you. I think these are things that we have to work through. And again, folks, with the dumbing down, you know, I had to literally take myself off of Instagram because you get pulled in. I got pulled in yesterday. And I'm a sports guy. I everything sports. I found myself being on there over an hour yesterday. I said, you know what? I can't do this. I love
the Yankees.
you know, I'm looking at Yankee stuff. I'm looking at, you know, I'm nursing my wounds over the Knicks loss.
Oh, yes, yes.
You know, that's devastating. I mean, if anybody loved me, y'all really need to have me on suicide watch because check on me. Because that doesn't make sense. And about 8 million other people. But wait a minute. I'm getting pulled in. You know, some days you're like that. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm too tied up in this. I gotta pull back and get myself together and not do this. So I think you're right. And we've got to win back. And here's the point I want to make. And I'll draw the analogy cell phones. The best deals for cell phones are for new subscribers. Have y'all noticed that? Mm-hmm. They don't have good discounts for those of us who've been with AT&T and T-Mobile for 1,000 years. But the incentive is to get new people. Mm-hmm. That goes for politics, too. What are we saying to attract new people? And now those new people will be the people we lost to him and to the Republicans. Mm-hmm. The non-college educated, the poor. What did you say? What was the term you used? The economically disadvantaged?
Yeah, economically disadvantaged.
Dr. King said the poor people's campaign. Reverend Barber says, well, so what if we would change that, the economically disadvantaged yeah. people's campaign?
What?
Yeah, yeah. No, Ruben Gallego, Senator of Arizona, is like, they keep trying to, like, my consultants kept trying to make me talk about my economically disadvantaged background. Like, why would I just say I was poor?
Yeah.
So there is I have an example.
Some of us can say PO. Some of us, including Ruben, I bet, when we couldn't afford the O or the R. Now, a whole lot of folks are going to say PO, too. So, even working poor.
So, yeah, there is Bernie Sanders. It's a quote from Bernie Sanders from a recent campaign rally. When he's having these campaign rallies with AOC, right?
Yeah.
He says, quote, we have a nation which is now run by a handful of greedy billionaires. I used to talk about oligarchy and people say, what is he talking about? Everybody knows what I'm talking about tonight. Like even he's realizing that using words like the oligarchy really does not serve him, right? It narrows the audience. Everybody knows what a greedy billionaire is and more so today than ever. Oligarchy, it's a fancy word. Like we need to get away from using words like that.
Yeah. Now, but let me say this though. Bernie, well, was he on Joe Rogan? See, Bernie goes to the other extreme though, because I think he was on Joe Rogan. He was on there recently, and he's getting a lot of backlash because again, he goes in on attacking identity politics, and really shows disdain for certain cultures. We're not saying that either, folks. You know, I don't think that you say we don't embrace different groups and different identities. But I think what Marcos is saying, trying to over-intellectualize it or oversimplify it or over-acronym it, even though acronym is not a verb, I just made that up. But that's what we're doing.
People cannot think that you're more worried about that niche issue over there than about their economic well-being.
Yeah.
That's, and we're in a tough position as Democrats, as liberals, because we don't have a media machine, right? Republicans can make a big deal out of nothing. Obama wearing a tan suit, right? They can have a collective freak out. We don't have that power because we don't have the media machine. Nobody invested in that.
Yeah.
They would rather piss away money on TV ads. Just remember, Kamala Harris outspent Donald Trump 3-1. 3-1. Well, they got all the money. No, we have all the money. The thing is, they put their money into media, into getting their message out. We put our getting our message out always, right? We put our money into TV ads that run 2 months before the election, and nobody either looks at them, and it doesn't change a single mind, right? That's the difference between the parties. When you're donating to campaigns now, you're basically, unless it's a brand new campaign, like in the first few months, and they need money to get off the ground, like J.D. Scholten, who's running for Senate in Iowa against We're All Gonna Die Anyway, Johnny Ernst, I'd put money into that, right? And it's a cheap state. Certain point, though, there's enough money. It's just going to be pissed away on TV ads that move nothing. Sherrod Brown in Ohio, he outspent the Republican candidate $90 million to $20 million. And he lost by 6. Same thing in Montana, right? Why? Because they have a machine that have conditioned those electorates to vote Republican. And we just piss it away on TV ads that don't do anything, have no lasting legacy, don't build any power, don't build any infrastructure. Like, at this point, like, if you're going to donate money politically, donate it to your favorite news outlets.
Yeah.
Like Helplight to Mark and to Daily Coast and to whatever you get your news, your progressive news. Like, put your money there. But that said, we have to be unified in being able to say, yeah, we're not going to, like, yeah, we're allies, but we're not going to talk about that now.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to talk about the things that everybody benefits from, including you. I mean, if we're talking about improving the economy, that improves the economy for our LGBTQ community, for Latinos, for Black community, for the Asian community. Everybody benefits. If young people can buy homes, young people are disproportionately Black and brown. So
numbers growing every day.
Yeah, let's create economic power across the board. And to do that, frankly, at this point, we have to take it away from the ultra rich.
Yeah, yeah.
There's one pot of money. They're hoarding it all.
Marcos and Melissa's folks, another edition of Thursday Coast in the books. Before we go, though, if you all, those of you who are watching, or if you visit Marcos's social or his Instagram, and trust me, he's not talking about Eric Tubman and other people not existing. It's fun. Which is ironic. Remember, Donald Trump said Frederick Douglass was still alive. And it's the first term. So this is sort of how crazy all this is, y'all. Frederick Douglass is doing a great job all over America. Okay. Thank you. So, but Marcos has a little dirt on his face. And people like
we're gonna talk about this, aren't we?
I like it. You're gonna stick with it. What you gonna do?
I am gonna stick with it. You know, it's funny. I'm about 20% Mayan blood in me, right? Like,
okay.
The American Indian, but Central American, American Indian. And Latino Indians, Mayan, Aztec, we're not hairy people. We don't get a lot of hair. Uh-huh. So I know people on the podcast can see it. I have like a light dusting. This is like 2 months worth.
Really?
Yes. So I will never have a beard. But yeah, no, a little scraggly. I'm letting my hair grow out. I got very curly hair. I'm letting it grow out on top. So
it looks like the mustache and the chin is coming in, though.
Yeah, the mustache. There's more mustache for sure. I can never get it as thick as yours, but it's definitely thicker there than it is on my, down from the sideburn down my jawline. But yeah, I've been clean shaven and I've cropped my hair tight since I went to law school back in the late 90s. And so it feels weird 30 years now, like starting to let it grow out again. When I was in college as an undergrad, I had hair down to my shoulders. I was all grunge. This was early 90s.
Wow.
I was Mr. Grunge. Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. Very curly, very thick, curly hair. And just like my daughter has now. But yeah, I went to law school, cut it short, and I kept it that way. And now I'm starting to like experiment with growing it out, and it's fun. I mean, I am going to be an empty nester. I have to change things, right? So, I mean, if I'm going to have a new version of me, I might as well experiment with what that looks like. And
I think it makes you look even younger. Oh. So yeah, work with it, man. And if you let it keep growing, it'll eventually, it may come out. It may come out some more, and you'll be good. And the ladies will like it. I know your significant other loves it.
She does like it. And I am actually using Rogaine actually on my, to see if I can get a little bit more thickness there.
Go ahead.
Like there's beard Rogaine. Yep.
That's great. No, really, trying to look like me, y'all. Now his won't be as white as mine, at least starting out. But
yeah. It's actually pretty white. Doesn't help. It makes it look even thinner. Yeah, how white it is, and it transitions from my hair, which is not as white, and it just boom, it becomes whiter.
Yeah. Well, like mine. So
that's what yours does.
Reason, male facial hair grays first.
Ah, okay.
That's just the thing.
Yeah.
When you're aging as a male, it's the facial hair that gets older first. As a matter of fact, mine went from, you may recall this, we've been doing this for years. Mine went from literally black to white overnight. I didn't even have a gray period. I mean, I literally woke up one morning and I was like, what happened? Everybody's like, what happened to you? I was like, my hair turned white overnight. So, I know what caused it and who caused it, but that's what happened. And not to kid y'all, but, anyway, folks, dailycoast.com is always subscribe if you've not, so we can make it through these insane moments. Also, just in way of news, Supreme Court ruled that it will be easier. Today they ruled for people to bring forth reverse discrimination arguments. And it was a 9-0 decision. Mm. So I don't know what that was about. But a woman in this case felt she was discriminated against because she was straight. It wasn't a racial piece. It was a sexual orientation argument, and she won.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not allowed to discriminate. I mean, it's been as simple as that. That discrimination is, I mean, once you open up legislation legally, they may not have had a choice. But I don't know. I haven't seen the decision, so I haven't. But yeah, when you have a 9-0 decision, it means that it must be pretty obvious.
And there were several other decisions. I'm trying to see if I can access them quickly just so you can, since we're reporting on this and it's not immediately in front of me. But Ketanji Brown Jackson is writing that decision, the first black woman on the Supreme Court. So I'm not. Be anxious to read that, but basically discrimination is wrong, but apparently this makes it easier for people to bring that kind of case. Secondly, Trump has received the German chancellor in his office. These are the words of the German chancellor. May I remind you that we are having June 6th tomorrow. That is the D-Day anniversary. Here's his Trump's response, Marcos. Lord have mercy. He says, not a pleasant day for you. That was not a great day. And then the German chancellor responds, this was the liberation of my country from Nazi dictatorship. Like, what is Trump?
So Elon Musk just responded to the clip you run earlier on. Trump saying that, Trump said, I'm very disappointed with Elon. I've helped him a lot. He knew the inner workings of the bill better than anybody sitting here. He had no problem with it. All of a sudden, he had a problem, and he only developed the problem when he found out we're going to cut EV subsidies. Elon responds on Twitter X, false. This bill was never shown to me even once and was passed in the dead of night so fast that almost no one in Congress could even read it. So they're going at it.
Yeah, it's probably going to get uglier.
Tit for tat.
Before it's over. It's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
So yeah. And again, now, again, this is the guy who accused South Africa of white genocide for him.
Yeah. Yep.
And the white South Africans came over in the golfers came over with the president and said, that's not true. It's not white genocide. Yes, it is. It's white genocide. Yeah. Anyway, Trump said to the German chancellor, this is not a pleasant day for you. D-Day anniversary is not a pleasant day for you. That was not a great day. As if your country lost the war. And the German chancellor had to say, yeah, well, actually it was because we were liberated from Nazi dictatorship. So, yeah, we're not going to make it like this, y'all. That's why we have to keep fighting.
Oh, seriously, man.
This dude
he's not taking the summer off.
No.
Nope.
No. Just nonstop.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
And you know what else, too? Somebody else, not Chavis, Ben Chavis pointed this out. You know what else happens, Marcos? It's not just, I don't know, a lot of these crazy policies and statements are not planned out. He wakes up in the morning to figure out a way to capture the news cycle. Mm-hmm. What is the craziest thing I can say or do today? So why don't I tell the German chancellor, oh, it's bad news that Nazism ended on June 6th, the anniversary. Because he knows it's going to get an headline. It's going to be as long as he is like a strobe light, enhanced interrogation technique, just every day in my face, Trump.
Terrible.
Trump, yep. Trump. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Thanks as always. DailyCoast.com, folks.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.